Jackson, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, a Civic Media station.
CBS News special report. President Biden says former President Jimmy Carter's death isn't just a loss for Americans.
Millions of people all around the world, all over the world, feel they lost a friend as well, even though they never met him.
Historian Douglas Brinkley tells CBS Mornings his post-presidential achievements are his true legacy.
That he won a Nobel Peace Prize, which represents for him all the work he did at stopping civil wars around the world, of monitoring free and fair elections, of combating river blindness, guinea worm disease, tuberculosis, leprosy, you name it.
But Carter friend and advisor Stuart Eisenstadt says some of his presidential achievements are often unfairly overlooked.
The energy independence or security that we have today rests on his three major energy bills, which deregulated oil and gas, started the whole solar and renewable energy revolution.
CBS News special report. I'm Peter King.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Former President Jimmy Carter left a lasting impact on Milwaukee. Through his work with Habitat for Humanity in 1989, Carter and his wife led a week-long project to build six new homes and rehab eight others. The work was near North 23rd and Walnut. The effort brought together thousands of volunteers and showcased the former president's commitment to affordable housing and community service. There's one more gift to give. Today, the Milwaukee County Zoo is hosting the annual Holiday of Hope Blood Drive. Those able to give the gift of blood can pop into the zoo and make a donation. Versiti is running the operation. They ask that you bring an ID and prepare to spend about an hour in the process. President-elect Donald Trump's pick for Health and Human Services Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr. has promoted consumption of raw milk. Wisconsin Watch's Tricia Young has more about the legal status of raw milk in Wisconsin.
Raw milk sales are generally illegal in Wisconsin, except for incidental sales directly to consumers at dairy farms. These sales become illegal if conducted as a regular business or if they are advertised. President-elect Donald Trump's health secretary pick, Robert Kennedy Jr., has signaled support for raw milk, which some public health authorities warn is unsafe due to the risk of bacteria like E. coli. Advocates claim nutritional benefits, but experts say evidence is insufficient. A 2023 Wisconsin bill to license raw milk sales failed to pass. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
A new Monterey Market in Milwaukee is coming. The closed-down Walmart Market on the west side will soon become a Monterey Market, bringing Latin American grocery options to the area. The new store joins two existing Monterey Market locations in Milwaukee. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Packers fall short in Minnesota. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers scored three touchdowns in the second half, but came up short, losing to the Vikings at U.S. Bank Stadium 27-25. Green Bay swept this season by both the Lions and the Vikings. Do the Packers still think they're on the same level as those teams? Green Bay safety Xavier McKinney.
I want to say yeah, but right now the story is we haven't beat those teams. So I can't sit up here and say, yeah, we're on the same level if we ain't beat them.
Vikings finished 7-1 at home this season. Quarterback Sam Darnold.
You know, we executed at a high level. Obviously a lot of things to correct, but overall, man, it was a great team effort, obviously, against a really, really good Packers team.
So the Vikings face the Lions in Detroit on Sunday night. The Packers will host the Bears Sunday at noon. Men's college hockey, Wisconsin beating UConn 4-3 to win the title in the holiday faceoff over the weekend at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy today, although we will see a glimpse or two of sunshine at times here through the day. Our high right around 44 with wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight, cloudy with scattered showers after midnight, 32 tomorrow. Mostly cloudy, scattered rain, maybe even a little snow as temperatures drop in the afternoon. Our high right around 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Appleton-based comedian John Egan into the studio. Then Chicago comedians Bill Gorgo and Jim McHugh join the show to promote a New Year's Eve extravaganza in Port Washington. Let's light it up.
Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show, a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Hey, good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
All right, man. What do we got? One more day.
Yeah. 2024 is almost over.
And man, it's an unbelievable thing. Sandy and I were talking about this the other day. Man, we're a quarter into the 21st century. And you know, it's just time waits for, there was an old song that came out. I got to find it. And it's a Motown Monday, so I'm going to find it. And it says, and I forgot who made it, but it's time waits for no one. It keeps moving on somehow. And then the rest of it was, if you ever give this love a chance, do it right now. But time waits for no one. And man, it's hard to believe, almost a quarter into the 21st century. But anyway, it's Motown Monday. Got a great show lined up for you this morning. We await, actually, my first guest, who is a cardiac surgeon with Frederick Hospital here in Milwaukee. And so we're going to have him on. His name is Dr. Jorge Cecito, and he is the Director of Heart and Vascular Services for Frederick and the Medical College of Wisconsin. And so we're going to be talking about something that really is kind of amazing, the uptick in cardiac events during the winter holiday season. More people die from December 25th through January 1st than any other time of the year from cardiac arrest. And that's a pretty amazing statistic. And, you know, why and what's going on, Calvin, between January 1st, December 25th and January 1st. Obviously, the holiday, excitement and energy and probably a lot more food than people normally take in, you know, consuming, probably more alcohol than we normally do. But we're going to have a discussion with Dr. Cicito shortly. So I'm excited about that. In hour two, we're going to be joined by Alan Borsick. He is with Marquette University Law School. He's a renowned Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Award winner that focuses on education. And then I'm going to be filling in for Maggie Dawn this afternoon. And so I'll be back in the 2 o'clock hour, and I will certainly spend some time talking about a man that I have the utmost respect for and have had as long as I knew about him and the things that I read about him, and that's the former president of the United States, Jimmy Carter, who finally, after 100 years, can rest. He's certainly, during the time he was here, did a great service. And as a person who understands the importance of serving, he was one of the greatest in that realm. So really excited about, you know, doing Maggie's show this afternoon, but I'm even more excited about my show this morning and all the different things that we're going to be talking about. So Calvin, so you saw the show. I mean, the Packers. You saw a little bit of the Packers.
Yeah, I saw the end. I saw that we weren't able to get that last stop to get the ball back.
Well, you know, it was, it was a great game, man. Listen, I saw what I would consider one of the greatest football games that I had ever seen. And when you, an old goat like me, that's saying a lot. But it was on Saturday evening. And it was the Buffalo Bills, and it was the, no, it might not have been the Buffalo Bills. It was the, well, see, this is what I mean by being an old goat. It was the Cincinnati Bengals. And I don't know, it might have been the Buffalo Bills, but man, it was a great, great game. And, you know, this is the time of year when football is at its best. And, you know, no question whatsoever, the best sport anywhere in the country, in the world. There's a reason why so many people watch it. There's a reason why it's so prominent. When you find a top-of-the-line, the excitement football game, pro football game, man, nothing better. But anyway, while we await my guess, I wonder why, you know, so many people have these heart attacks during the holiday season. It's really an amazing thing. I was paging through this. Heart attack deaths more likely during the winter holiday season than any other time. That's according to the American Heart Association, and it suggests ways to prepare for heart-healthy holidays in order to avoid heart attacks. I don't know. There it is, Bengals and the Broncos. There you go, Tony. Thank you, man. Yeah, thank you, Tony. Yeah, it was. That game was the Bengals and the Broncos, man. One of the greatest games and most exciting games that I've seen in a long, long time. But anyway, scientific research over time has shown an uptick in cardiac events during the winter holiday seasons, and more people die from heart attacks between December 25th and January 1st than any other time of the year. The American Heart Association, the world's leading nonprofit organization focused on heart and brain health for all, and has tips and resources to help you and yours have a happy, healthy holiday season. Now, as a guy who, you know, my heart is, you know, as far as I know, You know, I have a cardiologist, and I had a stent maybe 12, 13 years ago. And I never thought I had a problem with my heart. Well, some might say, well, you couldn't have a problem with your heart, Earl, because you would have to have one first, Calvin, for you to have a problem with it. But so I had this palpitation. And I remember, I don't know, it's been a long time ago, that I had a stent. But since that time, I have not had problems at all with my heart. You know, I went and got checked out, you know, maybe a month or so ago. I see my cardiologist once a year. And at my age, they tell me that that's pretty good. But I'll tell you, I understand the importance of being here. I don't mean on the radio. I mean, man, still being a part of this thing called life. And if you don't take care of yourself, if you take it for granted, there's always the chance that you might not be around long. Let's bring Al on. We're going to get the doctor on in the next segment. Hey, Al, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right.
You talking about all these people dying from heart attacks. They too busy out here ho-ho-hoing.
Hey, man, come on, man. Come on. Because, you know, a person could, you know, see that from a different perspective. You know.
Well, from December 25th.
Oh, yeah, man, to January 1st. And you know, the fact that people, you know, Al, get so caught up. And, you know, man, you certainly we overeat. The people overdrink. And this is just a warning. Which is what the doctor, the cardiologist, is going to give us about signs that you should look for. And even the people who you have with you, your loved ones, maybe they can't say it, but, you know, you and I are at that point, man, where it can happen at any time.
You at that point. I'm still 29. the issue is stress. And you got to understand, see, during this time of the year, it's cold. People don't know how to dress properly. They got to shovel snow and deal with all of that. And the travel issues are greater. So there's a lot more stress during these times. And too many people sit around and do nothing. They don't exercise.
Well, you know, that's one of the major keys. 855-752-4842. When we come back, we are going to be joined by Dr. Jorge Sicedo. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As 2024 comes to a close, we're taking our annual look back at the year that was, recapping our most read, most listened to, and most impactful stories of the year. If you're new to learning about the recombobulation area, this would be a great place to start to see what we're all about. This year, we covered the RNC in Milwaukee and the DNC in Chicago and broke stories that made national news along the way. We wrote about the fight for fair maps and covered elections in the state legislature like no one else. I wrote opinion columns and feature stories and conducted extended sit-down interviews like one with Senator Tammy Baldwin. I hosted podcasts and radio shows and, of course, joined the Civic Media Network, where you've heard me all over the airwaves for the last few months. This last year was discombobulating at times, but we did our best to make sense of it all, and we've got a whole lot more recombobulation in store for the year ahead in 2025.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph is a holiday classic, and there's a Wisconsin connection. Maury Laws composed music for the animated show in 1964. He continued arranging hundreds of songs from his Appleton home after leaving New York 20 years later. During that time, Laws created one quirky pop song. Do you know what it is? The answer coming up.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, sort of where a lot of people's core Christmas memories come from.
Emily Locke with the Oshkosh Museum on holiday traditions around Rudolph. Laws worked for the TV production company behind the show and also wrote music for Frosty the Snowman. And about the silly song he composed. Yes, Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini. Laws died in 2019 at the age of 95, but his music lives on as a wonderful slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
All right, welcome to back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. And again, shortly we'll be joined by Dr. Jorge Sacito. He is with the Medical College of Wisconsin, and he is the director of Heart and Vascular Services for Frederick and a Medical College of Wisconsin. Now, when we were talking about, you know, the fact that this time of year between December 25th and January 1st, people are more susceptible to heart attacks than any other time of the year. And so it's important that even though we are, you know, it may not be you, but you've got friends and family over, and there are signs and things that you should be looking for as it relates to, you know, what could be happening to your loved one. And some of the signs: know the symptoms and take action. Heart attack signs may vary in men and women, and it's important to catch them early and call 911 for help. The sooner medical treatment begins, the better the chances of survival and preventing heart damage occurs. All right, we are joined by the chief of cardiovascular medicine at Frederick and Milwaukee College of Wisconsin, Dr. Jorge Sacito. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Doing good, Earl. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Sorry about the mix-up, but, you know, technology is what it is. So why between December 25th and January 1st? I got some ideas. People are celebrating in many ways, overindulging in food, overindulging in beverage. And why is that particular period of time so impactful as it relates to heart attacks.
You are absolutely right. You know, the 3 days of the year where it has been documented that heart attacks increase in frequency are Christmas Day, 25th December, and the day after Christmas, December 26th, and then January 1st. And it is, I think, in part exactly what you just said, right? We indulge ourselves with more alcohol, more unhealthy meals. But I think there is also an issue of stress, right, related to it. Not everybody has these very warm holidays where all is fun. There is just time of stress often amongst family members, friends, you know, remembering those that have left and sad times, etc. So I think there is a confluence of factors that involve our habits, but also stresses around the holidays per se and our experiences.
Doctor, how much of it is the fact that people haven't done their due diligence in taking care of themselves throughout the year and are more susceptible at that time of the year because they haven't done much in the way of preventative?
That also plays a role, absolutely, Earl. And, you know, we see that often, you know, in winter months where, you know, we have these snowfalls and people that have not exercised, that have not taken care of themselves, then they go out and start shoveling snow. And that's a very well-documented risk for people to, you know, to have heart attacks. There are a bunch of things that happen inside. You know, blood pressure goes up. And when that happens, those people that have cholesterol plaques that have built up in the arteries, which is actually, believe it or not, at least half of the people that are 50 years of age or older, you know, some of those plaques can rupture because of the high blood pressure, the stress and whatnot. And when those plaques of cholesterol rupture, a clot builds on top of those plaques and occludes the pass of blood, the flow of blood into the heart. So people that exercise, people who have good control of the blood pressure, of their cholesterol, et cetera, are way less susceptible of getting heart attacks during the exercise, winter months, stressful times.
You know, the really horrific part about this is during the holidays, you've got people over or you're over people's homes that you love and probably, you know, I'm 70 years old, so I'm sure there are people who have aged probably, and they're excited about all these kinds of things. It's a good time for us to recognize signs in them. Is it safe to say that we could really make a difference in recognizing signs in others?
So, you know, what I more strongly focus our attention would be actually, Earl, on preventing the heart attacks, because once the heart attack occurs, you know, yeah, sure, we can identify those symptoms, but unfortunately, many people die suddenly or have massive heart attacks very rapidly with those symptoms. Yes, we can do something to prevent them from dying or having a better chances of surviving a big heart attack. And, you know, the typical shortness of breath in the elderly, actually shortness of breath is a bigger manifest than chest pain, jaw discomfort, upper back discomfort when walking, etc. But again, most people, when what happens is a rapid symptom that leads to a heart attack.
So, doctor, hang on. I'm joined by Dr. Jorge Sacido, and he is the director of heart and vascular services for Frater and the Medical College of Wisconsin and Healing Network. 855-752-4842. You can join the conversation on a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
A new choice, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, 540 WAUK.
You can always continue the conversation on social media.
Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Some free rides tomorrow night will run through 4 a.m. The Miller Lite Free Rides program returns New Year's Eve, offering free public transit through a partnership between Molson Coors and MCTS. Riders can enjoy free service from 8 tomorrow night until end of service, with some popular routes extended until 4 a.m. The long-running initiative has provided nearly a million rides since 1988. There will be fireworks tomorrow night in the Deer District. Former President Jimmy Carter helped build in Milwaukee. In 1989, he assisted Habitat for Humanity near Walnut and North 23rd. Lisa Hale has more about the Wisconsin Remembrance.
Jimmy Carter, the 39th president of the United States, has passed away at 100 years old. In 2002, Carter received the Nobel Peace Prize for his diplomatic work with the Carter Center. He was also very active in building hundreds of homes for Habitat for Humanity. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers released a statement that said, quote, "Former President Carter was a committed and dedicated advocate for peace, human rights, and treating others with dignity, decency, and respect. Qualities that earned him respect and admiration from many across our country and around the world." President Carter died at his home in Plains, Georgia.
Work is expected to start soon on the Racine County redevelopment of the South Hills Country Club site. The $440 million transformation is moving ahead with the purchase of the property by Ashley Capital. The national real estate firm plans to convert the 223-acre property into the South Hills Commerce Center. That'll feature 10 industrial buildings totaling almost 4 million square feet. The project is expected to boost property value there by $300 million and bring 2,000 full-time jobs. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Batman fans eagerly awaiting the second installment of the new franchise will have to tap the brakes. Variety reports that the Matt Reeves-directed Batman 2 has been delayed a year and will now hit theaters in 2027. The film was originally slated for an IMAX release that would hit theaters October 2nd of 2026. Warner Brothers has announced that taking those screens will be a new Tom Cruise film that they are hoping to get on the big screen to qualify for the 2026 Oscar season. Here's one of Pete's picks. The Order, starring Jude Law as an FBI agent tracking a white supremacist group, is a really solid watch. Based on a true story from the 1980s, Law tracks the gang as they rob banks and set bombs off, terrorizing the Pacific Northwest. The film has good action and is a great detective story. The Order also stars Nicholas Hoult as the leader of the criminal group, Ty Sheridan as a local sheriff's deputy, and Journey Smollett as an FBI agent. The film has been a hit with critics and audiences alike. Strongly recommend. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy today, although we will see a glimpse or two of sunshine at times here through the day. Our high right around 44 with wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight, cloudy with scattered showers after midnight, 32 tomorrow. Mostly cloudy, scattered rain, maybe even a little snow as temperatures drop in the afternoon. Our high right around 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Well, not exactly. No Pat Kreitlow Monday or Tuesday, but you'll have Greg Bach and Dr. Kristen Lyerly, so you better tune in. I better tune in.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As promised, I'm joined by Dr. Jorge Saucedo. He is the Director of Health and Vascular Services for Frederick and the Medical College of Wisconsin and Healing Network. And he's here to talk about the fact that between December 25th and January 1st, so many people are susceptible to heart attacks. So, you know, Dr. Saucedo, you were saying before, you know, we went on break, that preventative care, you know. So I, as I said to you before, I'm 70 years of age. I take a couple meds, a high blood pressure med, and I certainly take something for building up plaque and those kinds of things. I don't ever forget to take my medicine. I don't care how good I feel. I understand why, you know, at my age, that I'm able to continue to move and do the things that I do. I am active. But if you don't do those things, is there a certain age or a certain time, Dr. Saucedo, that we should begin finding stress tests, seeing a cardiologist? When does that come into play?
So, Earl, exactly. I mean, you said it right. First of all, if you have been diagnosed with any medical condition or any cardiovascular risk factor, you must take your medicines to reduce the risk of heart attacks, strokes, and so forth. So my recommendation, of course, it is to follow as a healthy lifestyle as possible. I know sometimes that is difficult, but, you know, just exercising and eating healthy, that goes a long, long way in terms of cardiovascular health and health overall. Now, some people are born with, certain genes and risk factors that require attention at earlier ages. And I think it is also very, very important to take a look at our blood pressure and our cholesterol levels fairly early in life. And, you know, some people say still in childhood, but I would say they're definitely in early adulthood. So my recommendation is know your numbers. And the two numbers that you must know is your blood pressure and your cholesterol. And if they are elevated, they must be treated. Because by treating your very high cholesterol or your high blood pressure, you really reduce your risk, again, of heart attacks, strokes, and other vascular problems. And the other two recommendations I go back, it's exercise often. The American Heart Association recommends at least 4 sessions of 40 minutes each per week. So about 60 minutes of cardiovascular exercise, moderate to intense, to reduce your risk of cardiovascular events. And as I pointed out, just learn a little bit about your diet, smaller portions, healthy meals, include your vegetables, include your fruits, you can include your protein, lean protein. And, you know, I think processed foods and processed carbohydrates particularly have caused a lot of damage to our society. So try to stay as much as possible away from processed foods and cheap carbohydrates.
You know, you said 4 sessions of 40 minutes. Is that predicated on your age? As we get older, it's still, or it does not matter?
No, it really doesn't matter. Those studies that have to do with exercise have done, you know, younger adults and just to continue with those sessions throughout your life, and that will make your heart stronger. Actually, again, my recommendation, of course, for those that are not used to exercise is not to go out there and start running, you know, 40 minutes 4 times per week. That may not be very wise. You know, have a lot of common sense when doing these sort of things. And you can, it's not really where you start, but where you finish. So if you need to start slow, walking, brisk walks, 5-10 minutes, and start increasing those times from 5 minutes eventually to 40-minute sessions of moderate to intensive exercise 4 times a week. That's what you want to do. Another thing, of course, I haven't mentioned, Earl, but I think that's a no-brainer, is what we must stay away from tobacco products, right? Fortunately, well, in general, over the last many decades, I think we have done a good job in reducing the use of tobacco, cigarettes, cigars, etc. In our population. But still, I think there is much more that needs to be done. And that, as I was pointing out, the exercise, the eating healthy, the cholesterol, and the blood pressure, well, absolutely, we must not use tobacco products, because that really increases your risk of all sorts of health-related matters, cancer, strokes, heart attacks, and so forth.
If you're just joining us, I'm joined by Dr. Jorge Sicedo. He is the Director of Heart and Vascular Services for Frater and the Medical College of Wisconsin Healing Network. And, he's here because, for whatever reason, people are more susceptible to heart attacks between December 25th and January 1st. You mentioned tobacco products. Does that include marijuana?
Well, a good point. I actually had the privilege of writing a review article with many members, a selected group of, within the American Heart Association, that was published about the cardiovascular effects of marijuana. And I think there is still a lot that we are learning from marijuana. And, first of all, any product that burns, that we inhale, is just bad for our lungs in general, right? So that's without saying. But there are also, matters with the use of marijuana-related products that may increase, the number of palpitations and arrhythmias that we have in our heart, and other matters, atrial fibrillation and so forth. So we have not, when putting together the potential benefits in people that may have, let's say, terminal cancer or other matters that are using marijuana for medicinal purposes, I mean, those things need to be definitely discussed with patient's physician, because there may be an upside for certain patients. But the general recommendation is that the use of marijuana or marijuana-related products actually may affect the heart as well, in a different way than tobacco products. But it is not something that we recommend its regular use.
Dr. Sicedo, so if once a person has a heart attack,
yes, sir,
their life changes forever. So it's not something that you really want to have to go through. So what we should be doing is certainly doing everything within our power to prevent it from happening and not have to be on the other side of it. Is it safe to say that, sir?
That's right. That's what I wanted to spend more time on, prevention than on treatment.
Yes.
We are doing great, fortunately, right? If somebody develops a heart attack, as I pointed out, severe chest pressure, they cannot breathe, neck discomfort, jaw discomfort, upper back, and people that realize that they were able to walk certain amount of, feet, and now they cannot because they're short of breath. That's also a manifestation of could be a manifestation of blockages in someone's heart. If somebody's having a heart attack, you recognize those symptoms, or a stroke, right? I think it is very important also to recognize strokes early. You come to the hospital and we can take care of that heart attack and increase your dramatic chances of survival and having more or less a normal life after a heart attack, if the heart attack is dealt with
immediately,
early.
Right.
So if somebody develops chest pain, and these other symptoms that I was mentioning, come to the hospital, they're having a major heart attack, we go to what we call the catheterization laboratories to do some plumbing. So we put, catheters inside of the heart, clean up the artery, clean up the clot, and that saves the heart from dying. Same with the brain. There's this clot, you know, somebody's having a stroke, we go get the clot out and we prevent brain tissue from dying. And that is very, very, very important in terms of improving the chance of someone to having, reducing, you know, neurological deficit or cardiovascular, cardiac related matters like heart failure, etc., after a heart attack. So, then it comes what we call secondary prevention. Once you had a heart attack, you are definitely at a high risk of developing another heart attack. So we are way more aggressive in reducing the risk of someone who has had a heart attack than in someone who hasn't, that, you know, doesn't smoke, has normal cholesterol, etc. So if someone has had a heart attack, then we really work very hard in bringing the cholesterol to very, very low numbers, the bad cholesterol, to really control the blood pressure very aggressively, to ensure these the same things, the exercise, the eating healthy. But in order to prevent another heart attack, we need to be more aggressive in managing these risk factors. So I am with you, Earl. I think it's much better to prevent than to treat. Or prevent a second heart attack, right? Becomes a little harder.
You know, Doc, I have to tell you, I keep saying I'm 70 years old, and I say that because in my mind and physically, I don't feel 70. Yeah. And so when I go out, if it's shoveling snow, if it's blowing snow, whatever it is, or I've always been used to being active and moving. In my mind, it's like, hey man, I don't feel 70. But I am, right? And so I've got to be more cognizant of the fact that I'm not that 45-year-old strapping buck that I used to be. But in my mind, it leads me to believe that. But I've learned over the last 10, 15 years or so that, man, I've got to do all that I can to not wind up with those kinds of serious health issues because it's so much more difficult to overcome as we age.
Yeah, agree. Investing a little bit of time and a little bit on, you know, effort on our health just brings tremendous, you know, benefits in terms of quality of life, not only improving the, you know, the number of years that your chance of living a longer life, which everybody wants, but I think we are all more interested in
your quality,
in living high quality, yes, high quality life, right? And if we don't invest a little bit on that, you know, the problem is that, you know, chances of these strokes and having been incapacitated neurologically or having a heart attack and then having the heart failure symptoms, etc., that just doesn't become fun, right? So it is, again, not only about the quantity of life, but the quality of life that we want to live, and just really small investments in our health, small investments in our health over a long period of time will bring tremendous benefits.
So I'm joined by Dr. Jorge Sacido. He is the director of Heart and Vascular Services for Frater in the Medical College of Wisconsin and Healing Network. And I will say, as we continue this conversation, 855-752-4842. You're tuned into a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A 2023 decision in an Arkansas redistricting case found individual voters did not have a private right of action to challenge the maps. The state of Louisiana tried the same tactic in its chaotic gerrymandering case, but was refused on June 24th. be looking for another challenge in 2025. Defying precedent, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals held in a 2023 Arkansas racial gerrymandering case that individual voters do not have a private right of action under the VRA Section 2. It said only the U.S. Justice Department could bring such cases, despite individuals having filed 90% of previous challenges. Calling it radical, scholars expected it to be quickly overturned, but this January, the full Eighth Circuit refused to rehear the case. Seeing an opening, Louisiana asked the full Fifth Circuit to rehear its gerrymandering case on the same grounds, with 13 other Republican attorneys general urging a no private right of action decision. In a close vote Monday, the Fifth Circuit refused that rehearing. For now, the Eighth Circuit decision still only affects Arkansas, Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, and South Dakota. But it's clear that private right of action is the new battleground and will almost certainly reach the U.S. Supreme Court. We've linked to more on the private right of action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
All right, welcome back to Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. I am so happy to be joined by Dr. Jorge Cicito. He is the Director of Health and Vascular Services for Frater and the Medical College of Wisconsin Healing Network. So, Dr. Cicito, are men more apt or more likely to have heart attacks than women?
The difference is only on the age, Earl. You could say that men have cardiovascular problems about a decade before women do. A number of issues related to our habits, our hormones, and the way we're made, right? But women have as many cardiovascular problems as we do or more if you adjust for age, you know, if you just give them another decade. It's interesting because, you know, women die more of cardiovascular causes than of cancer. If you put all the types of cancer together, you know, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, all sorts of cancer together, lung and colon and whatnot, and if you put cardiovascular issues, women die more of cardiovascular problems than of cancer. So actually, a little girl would have about an 11-fold greater chances of having a cardiovascular event than dying of breast cancer. It doesn't mean that we should not be, you know, preventing and screening and, you know, for cancer and so forth. But the answer to your question is as many women as men die of cardiovascular issues. Cardiovascular problems are the number one cause of death, both in men and in women. But usually, again, it manifests just a few years later, about a decade later than in men, generally speaking.
You know, doctor, I would say that, you know, in doing radio, I always say the real purpose of it, from my perspective, is to have and get information like this conversation you and I are having out to the community. Because, you know, we could talk about a million different things. I could talk about a million different things, but none, I think, as important as a discussion that you and I are having this morning. And I want to invite you back because I think it's so critically important. As time goes on and the information that you guys are learning and gathering and the times that we live in, a lot of these things can be prevented more than they could 30, 40 years ago, 20 years ago, because of the technology and the advancement of the knowledge you have. Is it safe to say that, sir?
Yes, sir. You know, you mentioned technology. The chances of us surviving a heart attack today are much greater than years ago. The chances of us living many more years, thanks to great medications, thanks to, again, what, you know, drug discovery, et cetera, much greater now than years ago. You know, just about 30 years ago, we didn't have really drugs to treat heart failure. Now we have, you know, fantastic medications that prolong the life of people with heart failure. And I can go on and on, you know, with blood thinners and so forth. So I think we live in the best of times. And we are lucky that many of us, although not all, and we need to continue to work towards providing healthcare to those that do not have access to healthcare, right? Because that's what differentiates, you know, how people do as well in terms of surviving. You probably know, Earl, that depending on the zip code that you may live.
Absolutely.
There may be as many as 15, 20 years of difference on your life expectancy. And a lot of that has to do with, yes, social issues and so forth, but also access to healthcare. So I think much needs to be done in general to ensure the access to good care to all of our population, which in turn will lead to better prevention and better treatment of disease to ensure that all of us, not some of us, but all of us have access to that innovation, that technology that has been developed over the last many years.
So I'm going to try to squeeze Tom and Tom quickly.
Good morning, Earl. It wasn't a plumbing issue with my heart. When I was 39 years old, I had an electrical problem with my heart. And that's why I remind anybody, if you start having palpitations, if you start having arrhythmias, go to the emergency room like I did. That's why I'm alive today. There is a difference between having a, you know, I've worked out my whole life and I'm in great shape. But the thing is, the electrical part of it is a totally different animal.
Hey, Tom. I wish we had more time, but thank you. So let me say this to you, Dr. Cicito. I want to invite you back because there's so much grounds that we need to cover as it relates to this. So if I extend the invitation to you, can we get you back on sometime in the near future?
It will be my pleasure, Earl. Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much, Doctor. Really appreciate it. Keep up the good work. Up next, I'm going to be joined by Alan Borsick from Marquette University Law School, a renowned Milwaukee Journal Sentinel education reporter. Thank you very much, Dr. Cicito. Have a great new year. You're tuned in to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
I don't want no mouth. I wanna dance. Oh yeah. Sure enough grooving now, y'all. Look at me. Oh yeah.
I just can't stop dancing.
No, no.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, what does former FBI and CIA Director William Webster have to say about Cash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard? Also, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay, on the rise of homelessness and political exhaustion. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6. The Todd Alba Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people at Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News special report. Jimmy Carter's death has retired CBS News White House correspondent Peter Mayer remembering Carter's rise to power.
He basically came out of political nowhere to win the White House. To some, he was seen as a liberal, and he was socially liberal on many issues. He was also pro-business, but also concerned about the environment.
Carter friend and advisor Stuart Eisenstadt on his presidential achievements.
His deregulation of all transportation modes, airlines bringing air travel to the middle class, railroads, trucking, telecommunications, which made possible the whole cable revolution, just absolutely changed the entire dimension of our economy.
Many say Carter was a better ex-president. His take in 2014.
In my opinion, I did the best I could when I was president. I'll let history judge the result of what I did.
CBS News special report. I'm Peter King.
Local radio.